This Janet Mefford Today podcast is sponsored by Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit healthcare sharing ministry that allows you to control and manage your own healthcare and choose any doctor or hospital in the nation. If you're a freedom-loving American looking for contract-free healthcare, call now 855-585-4237 or go to libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Janet Mefford Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God, come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it.
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Thanks so much for joining us again. This is very shocking news. Azusa Pacific University in California, the first Christian college on the West Coast with the motto God First, has just stripped language from its student standard of conduct agreement that prohibited public LGBTQ plus relationships for students on campus. Azusa Pacific also will be working to provide what is called a safe space for LGBTQ students on campus, and they will be opening up an LGBTQ campus office as well. It's just incredible. And as one activist site now asks, are evangelical colleges becoming more LGBTQ friendly? We're going to get some thoughts on this now from Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. Peter, welcome. Great to have you here.
Well, thank you, Janet. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you. I know we have touched on this issue of Christian colleges being under fire from activists. We've seen some of the stuff that's gone on a couple of years ago at Biola, for example, and Wheaton College. We've seen the Julie Rogers implosion and all of that. But why in the world would a Christian college take out language prohibiting public homosexual relationships for students? What's your take here?
Well, I think this is activism. They are caving into activism. They are caving into the world. I'm shocked by this, but God has given me this gift of being perpetually shocked. I guess I shouldn't be. What we're witnessing is really just the latest manifestation of incremental homosexual LGBTQ activism. And now it's the Christian institutions themselves. And it starts with, oh, we're just recognizing people who are same-sex attracted, who have the identity. We haven't changed our policy and the behavior. But then you say, we recognize relationships. Well, where in the Bible can you justify, Janet? How could you possibly find any justification in Scripture for a positive recognition of homosexual relationships?
You can't. There's no way you can. And it's interesting how it came about. This ZooNews.com, which first broke this story, and you were kind enough to alert a lot of us to this, talked about how there was this underground support group called Haven, and they met, and then they were concerned because there was an APU faculty member who was the target of a hate crime where slurs were used against him. I'm not sure how that's a hate crime. But then they got involved with this group called Brave Commons. Now, I go to the Brave Commons website. Here's how they describe themselves, Peter. We are a bold and subversive Christian movement of intersectional queer glory, healing and working towards robust justice for all. And this co-executive director, Aaron Green, coordinated a number of conversations with the APU administration in order to bring this about. Now, what in the world is APU doing hanging out with a bold and subversive Christian movement of intersectional queer glory?
Well, I think it starts from schools, first of all, allowing a Christian school, allowing somebody who identifies as homosexual to you know, just attend the college and no problem. And what happens is people don't understand how activism works, how the left works. The left is always grabbing what it can and then reaching for more. They've got a long-term vision. The long-term vision is going to be the complete acceptance of homosexuality, or as they say, queer lifestyles, identities, behaviors in the church. That's the end game we're talking about. And that's throughout Christianity. We're talking about pastors being vilified if they don't so-called marry two men. That's their end game. We have to understand it now. And this is the fact that they're so willy-nilly allowing this, and then it just keeps growing and metastasizing. It's just shocking at the naivete of Christian leaders.
Well, it is. One of the things that Erin Green said, and I'm going to be playing some of the clips from her in a little bit, but she went on a podcast recently and was talking about changing Christian universities. And she revealed that Brave Commons has activists that are targeting every Christian college and every Christian university throughout America. I talked to some Christian parents who say, oh, it's fine because my child is at a very strong Bible college, a very strong Christian college. And I'm thinking to myself, we cannot afford afford to be naive about this anymore. Peter, there are activists who are working hard, just like we've discussed with Revoice. We have activists on the ground working hard, trying to queer the church. Now we have activists working hard, I believe, from what they say on their website, who want to queer Christian colleges and universities. Is this not a five-alarm fire we ought to be responding to?
Yeah, and of course we're behind. It's way worse than, I'm at least speaking for myself, it's way worse than I would have dreamed it could be. And I'll say the one thing I do appreciate about Brave Commons is their honesty. They are subversive. It's a subversive movement. It's not Christian.
Right.
It's a subversive LGBTQ movement.
Yeah.
Stop with the calling everything Christian. You can't be a faithful Christian while embracing a positive identity rooted in sin. It's ludicrous. And yet we're talking about it. We're converging. You've got Christian colleges. I was shocked by something you sent me. And I should know, Janet, knowing you, I'm going to get all this bad news. But you sent me something on Julie Rogers, who was a homosexual activist working at Wheaton College. I did not know that Wheaton College's chaplaincy had recruited Julie Rogers. At that time, she was an open lesbian, and she said she was celibate. She was an open celibate lesbian. Why on earth is a Christian college recruiting an open, positive homosexual, even if she says she's not practicing? Why would they think that is the proper person to be ministering to Christian students? And did the parents know anything about that?
Yeah, and it backfired spectacularly. She ended up not only not being celibate, but now she's engaged, quote unquote, to another woman. I mean, that was a horrible PR disaster for Wheaton to ever put her there.
Right. But I mean, the fact that, you know, I'm real close to Wheaton here in Chicago, in Naperville, Illinois. And I mean, I just feel like I wish I could go before every one of those leaders and ask them point blank, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
The provost, the dean, what were you thinking? And it's the same for all these Christian institutions. And let's face it, the one point of leverage, Janet, that we have is their charter. It's a biblical charter. None of them would dare say, you know, I think the Bible is a little bit off on homosexuality. So what do? They go the slow route. They go the slow route and say, well, we just want to recognize people for their identity, not understanding that it starts with that. And then it goes on to relationships. And then it goes on to behavior. And then there's this whole thing of side A, side B. I can't remember which is which, but
right.
One is you are a gay Christian, so-called, and you practice homosexuality in sexually. The other one is you are a so-called gay Christian, but you are celibate.
That's B.
Now, the problem is, Janet, as you know, because you're an expert on this, these side A and side B mix in their activism. They're always working together.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of a... It's ridiculous to think this is going to stop at celibacy.
Well, right. I mean, even Eve Tushnet stood up at Revoice and made a joke about how, yeah, we say we're for the biblical Christian ethic, but we're not very good at it. Ha, ha, ha. So, I mean, here they were trying to make all these claims at Revoice about the fact that they were holding to celibacy. Then they make a joke about it. Then we find out later Nate Collins, the founder of Revoice, is actually on the board of another organization that has a human rights campaign activist also working for them who's married, quote unquote, to a woman. So whatever happened to celibacy, it just goes out the window. As soon as you move in and you establish yourself, the celibacy thing kind of drifts off into the ether.
Right. And let's remember, Jan, at that same Revoice conference banished me and Stephen Black, who's ex-gay,
yep,
a faithful Christian ex-gay. They banished both of us from attending. So he's able to be on the board with somebody who is a practicing homosexual in complete defiance of Scripture. And yet he can't have myself and Stephen Black even attend the Revoice conference. We weren't going to disrupt anything. I was just going to be a fly on the wall saying, I want to see what these guys are all about, but no. And so what happens is the faithful Christians become the threat to the Revoice types.
Yes.
The pro-homosexual types, the activists, they're not as threatening as the people who are saying, hey, we have to stick to Scripture.
Right, but it's not very in vogue nowadays, Peter, to stick to Scripture, is it? That's increasingly what we're faced with.
Right. And I, you know, I was struck by the language, both with, I think that Miss Green and Aaron Green and Julie Rogers, this thing of the oppressed minority.
Oh, yeah.
That's where they're going. That's the whole thing of Revoice. You knew it when they adopted that minority language that they're going towards this intersectionality and this oppression. But we're going to be hearing this again and again. And I can count on, I'm just presuming, a lot of Christian, you know, educators and administrators will cave in because we are so soft and we are so dumb as a culture now, and in the Christian church too. There's a lot of dumbness.
Well, and there's a lot of compromise, and I know there's a lot of pressure, and yet they are claiming at APU that they still adhere to the biblical principles of human sexuality, which is fine to say, but there are some reasons that I question that. We're going to come back and talk about more on this issue at Azusa Pacific and LGBT acceptance, moving toward a more friendly position on the LGBTQ issue. We'll come back on Janet Mefford Today with Peter LaBarbara after this. This is Janet Mefford for Preborn. Nearly one in four pregnancies in America will end in abortion. The Ministry of Preborn provides free ultrasounds for abortion-minded women nationwide. When a mother sees her baby on an ultrasound and hears the baby's heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life. Here's a story of a mom who went to one of Preborn's centers and met the baby she had planned to abort.
They took me to the back and they introduced me to my child for the first time through an ultrasound. I was able to see this life growing inside of me, hear the heartbeat, and nothing else mattered at that point. I was a mother to be.
Ultrasound is a game changer. Your gift of $140 will cover the cost of 5 ultrasounds. All donations are tax deductible. You can help save a baby's life by donating to Preborn. Just call 855-601-BABY. That's 855-601-2229. Or click the Preborn banner at janetmefford.com. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? We're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you'll access healthcare, so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $199 per month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. Regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. That number again, 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org. On Janet Mefford Today, thank you for joining us. Peter LaBarbara, president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, is joining me to talk about this bombshell news from Azusa Pacific University, the first Christian college on the West Coast, which has just stripped language from its student standard of conduct agreement that prohibited public LGBTQ relationships for students on campus. Oops, I'm sorry. I meant to say LGBTQ plus. Peter, you got to get the plus in or you're not really being inclusive enough. And we're breaking down, how in the world could a Christian university go in this direction? What are they doing? What are they thinking? This is what's interesting to me. We were discussing this activist, Erin Green. She's the co-executive director of Brave Commons, a homosexual activist group which describes itself as a bold and subversive Christian movement of intersectional queer glory. Yeah, this is the woman APU has been working with. Here's what she said. This is the quote from Zoom Media. We thought it was unfair to single out queer folks in same-sex romantic relationships. While it is impossible to enforce or monitor whether other students are remaining abstinent, queer students are just as able to have romanticized relationships that abide by APU's rules. The code used falsely assumed that same-sex romances always involve sexual behavior. This stigmatization causes harm to our community, especially those serious about their Christian faith. So am I to understand, Peter, I don't know if this is your takeaway, am I to understand then, by doing this, gay students at APU, homosexual students, can walk around campus as long as they're just holding hands or hugging or kissing? That's fine. I mean, it seems to me that maybe that would be the standard, because if you let straight kids do it, you got to let gay kids do it. Is that what you're understanding there?
Yeah, it's just bizarre. It's like they're getting in on a technicality. We don't have a fornicators club. I assume there's not one.
Not
maybe there's
yet.
One coming.
I know.
I mean, what about all that fornication identity people have? What about the lusters and the gossipers?
Yeah.
Shouldn't they be recognized by by Azusa Pacific. I mean, it's ludicrous. And then, of course, they know. They full know. I mean, you listen to Aaron Green's podcast, which I did thanks to you. And, I mean, it sounds just like run-of-the-mill gay activism, except in the church.
Right.
In other words, just pretend the church is, say, the Boy Scouts. We saw the Boy Scouts get completely subverted. Even after they won in the Supreme Court, they sold out to homosexual activism. They were targeted. The target now is on the back of every Christian institution, every single one. And I think the only solution here, because a lot of the talk I heard based on, you know, this whole conversation, Janet, is, oh, the federal money, we're not going to be able to last under Title IX with the federal money. Well, then the answer is every Christian institution, if they want to stay faithful, has to ditch federal money, just like Hillsdale College did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's the only way they're going to survive, because you can already see they're all petrified of losing their precious federal funding.
Well, let's go back, for example, because Erin Green got her start at Biola with gay activism. She was at Biola. And back in 2016, they created this group, Sustenere. And this is a group that is a purposeful community focused program for students with same sex attractions. And this was really a controversy when this happened a couple of years ago. Same sex attraction safe space at a Christian university. But really, when you look at Brave Commons and what they've said about having activists targeting every Christian institution, it seems to me like if there's not a sudden revival and an adherence to the word of God, regardless of the consequences at these schools, this is just the beginning of where it's going. It is. In fact, Erin Green said in that podcast, I'm going to get to this a little later on in the show, she said, not only is APU opening an LGBTQ office this fall on campus, but she also said that the faculty, this is her claim, I don't know if it's true, but she claims that the APU faculty are mostly openly affirming, especially in the theology department. Now, you think of all the Christian right. families that scrape and save and sacrifice to send their kids to a Christian campus like Biola or APU. What are they going to get when they send them there? I mean, what's the difference between this and a secular university? At what point do you say, I'm not really sure this is such a good idea? And that's the tragedy of it, because there ought to be Christian institutions that we can trust to send our kids to.
Well, and I think they're going to come when these institutions reject federal funding, because obviously that's a huge motivator for, and it maybe call it an excuse for these administrators. But I was also struck in that Erin Green podcast at how terribly upset she was that some this is at Biola, because she was sort of like at Azusa, and she was monitoring Biola. She was active in Biola. She was so upset that some professors actually signed on to the Nashville Statement,
yes.
Janet,
yes.
which is the statement affirming biblical principles on sexuality. And she was outraged. So here she is attending this avowedly Christian school, and she's a so-called queer student, active in queer activism, trying to promote it. And she's just outraged that these professors actually signed on to the biblical ethic. And that's the problem. There is no compatibility between queer activism and traditional faithful Christianity.
Well, and when we go back to Revoice, what that incremental gay activism is all about is queering the PCA, queering the Southern Baptist Convention, eventually all of the ties that Revoice had to figures, big figures in the Southern Baptist Convention. They want the church. They want the church wherever it rears itself, whether it's in a local congregation or a denomination or a Christian ministry or a Christian university. And it's difficult, Peter. My struggle here is getting people to be alarmed. I mean, oftentimes you'll say this and you'll announce this to people and the reaction is, oh, yeah, well, we're in the last days. I mean, what do you say to a right. Christian when they just go, oh, we're in the last days? I mean, nothing well, like fighting the good Christian fight of faith, right? Fight the good fight of faith.
Right. Absolutely. I think every Christian has to ask themselves, do you care, do I care more about the truth than these activists do for their big lie?
Amen.
And their big lie is that they are inherently gay.
Amen.
And I think this is the point we face now. They have such a huge amount invested. I'm talking about the LGBTQ activists. Why? Because of self, they have to rationalize their sinful choices. That's what it's all about. And now, what's the ultimate rationalization? Oh, it's God approves of my queerness. That's what it comes down to. I need to know that God approves of my queerness. That's what they're saying.
Yeah,
and right. they're calling their so-called queerness a gift from God.
Right. But we're back to the same era of Revoice. There's such a thing as sexual minorities. I mean, Julie Rogers was using that term back when she lost her job in 2015 at Wheaton. She was talking about sexual minorities. We have an orientation. We're special. Don't marginalize us. Don't harm us. Create a safe space for us. It's the same thing. And we must, as the body of Christ, reject this. There's no biblical support for the idea of a sexual orientation as they're describing it.
No, you don't get to set up your own rules for living. And it starts because they say they decide that that's their identity and they work backwards from there. That's why they've got it completely wrong. You gather truth from the Word of God and you let the Word of God through the Holy Spirit change you. It's not the other way around. Why couldn't all of us say, well, this is the particular sin that I believe is part of my identity. And I think the Christian church needs to change to accommodate my particular sin.
Right. Well, in the language of intersectionality, which is present with Brave Commons' description of its own mission and identity, is the same thing that we had with Revoice. Intersectionality. This is the progressive theory that is all about creating victim classes by which they can advance progressivism. It's the same thing here. And listen to this, Peter. I got to share this with people so they know. They have on the Brave Commons website a unicorn. They have a big unicorn there. And they say, why the unicorn? Now, listen to this. Unicorns are, frankly, the perfect queer icon, magical entities that must hide in plain sight for fear of their true identity being discovered. The idea of the unicorn simultaneously evokes carefree whimsy and self-aware irony, femme power, F-E-M-M-E, power, and mask beauty, as in masculine, pagan ideology and Christian imagery, subversiveness and boldness. Now, you tell me, as they're claiming to be Christians in a Christian movement, and they're using the unicorn in part because they like that it represents pagan ideology. I mean, how much more info do you need here to recognize you shouldn't be dialoguing with people like this? You should be throwing them off your campus nicely.
Yeah, right, because we always lose the dialogue. And I'll say one thing about the unicorn imagery. You know, the idea of faithful, so-called queer Christianity is about as realistic and true as a unicorn.
Yeah, that's a better explanation. Maybe you could put that up there on the website. Yeah, but, you know, this question of whether or not evangelical colleges are becoming more LGBTQ friendly, knowing what you know about the history of gay activism, Peter, and you're as informed as anybody I've ever met on the whole history of gay activism, where do you see this headed? What will they do next? And what should Christian parents look out for?
Well, I think this is going to be, I think it's the whole Revoice model. You have to accept students based on the identity. They're getting people to say, well, you have to deal, you know, and they can even use the celibacy. What strikes me is how, Julie Rogers says affirmed would be, they call it the difference between being affirmed and celibate. Affirmed being you're affirmed as in your whole homosexual person. In other words, you can engage in homosexual sex. But you know, the average person is not thinking along these breakdowns, you know, Janet. I mean, it's just weird.
Right.
So they're going to use the idea of celibacy, just like Julie Rogers did, to get into Wheaton College. She said she was celibate. They actually recruited her, but here she was actually a gay activist. And they start with identity, and then they move on. Then they go to, well, you know, if this is our identity, how can you deny us our right to love? You know, what kind of God would deny a person the right to love? Well, That's ludicrous, because there's all sorts of sexual situations people get in that they could claim a right to. Now, why doesn't a married man have a right to have sex with somebody who's not his wife? Why doesn't a man have a right to marry to have sex with his sister? I mean, what they're asking for is special treatment on the basis of their gay ideology, which they've affirmed and they declare is part of just truth itself. And so it's their truth versus real truth. And we have got to stand on real truth, because all these Christian colleges all swear by the same, they all adhere to the same Christian charter. It's a biblical charter which has no room at all for gay affirmation.
Right. And if it's in your charter, I think that's another good point. Then if you have a student, or if you are a student at a Christian university that may be moving in this direction, you have every right to go to that charter and say, you can't just say this on paper. You have to live this out in reality. Otherwise, your charter doesn't mean anything. It's one thing to say we believe in a biblical sexual ethic, and then you open an LGBT office on your campus. I mean, come on, we got to hold these people and their feet to the fire. Well, AmericansForTruth.com, Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Peter LaBarbera with us. Thanks a lot, Peter.
Thank you, Janet. God bless.
God bless. We'll be back. This Janet Mefford Today podcast is sponsored by Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit healthcare sharing ministry that allows you to control and manage your own healthcare and choose any doctor or hospital in the nation. If you're a freedom-loving American looking for contract-free healthcare, call now 855-585-4237 or go to libertyhealthshare.org. Welcome back to Janet Mefford Today. As promised, I want to play for you some of this audio that was from this podcast. Matthias Roberts, I'm not familiar with him. He identifies as an LGBT, quote unquote, Christian, and he has a podcast at his website. And he interviewed Aaron Green. Aaron Green is the Brave Commons co-executive director, gay activist who is instrumental in getting Azusa Pacific University to lift this banning of romanticized same-sex relationships on the Azusa Pacific University campus, first Christian college on the West Coast. This is now what's going on Christian campuses, at least on this Christian campus. And I wanted you to hear for yourself what she said in this interview. This is not a Christian interpreting what just happened at Azusa Pacific. This is a gay activist and an Azusa Pacific graduate talking about her experience with Azusa Pacific. Here she talks about her predictions for the future. This is cut one.
Azusa Pacific, specifically where I graduated from, and what a great way to leave that school. Here's an example of something very positive. I predict that Azusa Pacific in Southern California, and I'm not trying to plug my university or anything, but I really do truly predict that it will be the first Christian university to be openly inclusive. We're quite a ways from that occurring, but I feel like that could happen there. Most of the staff at Azusa Pacific, I mean, faculty, and especially in the biblical and theology department, are affirming. And they're very open and vocal during lectures, and they're very supportive of students from all backgrounds in their classes, even what they're teaching there, liberation theology, James Cone, womanist theology, queer theology, all kinds of beautiful, wonderful things we should all be getting as Christians and folks who want to really dig deeply into scripture and dig deeply into hermeneutics.
Now, I find this stunning, really stunning. And I have to admit, I'm not an expert on Azusa Pacific, but I've known of Azusa Pacific for quite a while. And good people go to Azusa Pacific, and we know it's an evangelical institution. And you think to yourself, yeah, it's a good school. Some good people have gone there. Don't know much about it. But that was quite amazing, wasn't it, to hear her say that in the theology department, especially in the biblical department or biblical studies department, they are openly affirming. Most of them are affirming. Now, I don't know exactly what she means by affirming. They're pro-homosexuality or they're pro-same-sex attracted so-called Christians. I'm not really sure. She doesn't say anything more than that. But to be open and vocal about it, that doesn't sound like a Christian school thing, does it? Does that seem like what needs to be going on a Christian campus? But even worse, did you hear what she was talking about is being taught there? Black liberation theology, James Cone, that's the stuff of Jeremiah Wright, folks, and Barack Obama. That was Barack Obama's church in Chicago, Jeremiah Wright, black liberation theology. So take that for what it's worth. Womanist theology. Womanist. That's not even a word, but it's all about feminism and queer theology. So they're teaching queer theology at Azusa Pacific. Perhaps we just didn't know what was going on and we just learned something. I don't know. Then Aaron Green goes on and praises Azusa Pacific for interacting with gay activists in order to create a safe space on campus. This is cut two.
This university administration started inviting LGBTQ organizations from outside of the school, invited them to come on campus, take a tour, and ask them how the university could become a better, safer space for trans people, for queer people in general. And what was really cool was that they asked me to be a part of this discussion. What APU did really well that a lot of other Christian universities don't was they invited their own queer community into this discussion with other LGBTQ organizations to help make this a safer space for students. And that was the right move because too many times, all I hear are straight white male pastors talking, or leaders talking about our community, but they're not talking to us at all, ever.
Oh, so white straight males are the problem. Well, we get back to the description that is on the Brave Commons website, where they describe themselves as intersectional. This is intersectionality. We come together and we have all of these groups in society that are victims and they're being oppressed by the white males. That's what's driving this. This isn't Christianity driving this. This is gay activism driving this. Then she talks about how great it is that Azusa Pacific is relinquishing its power. This is cut three.
They realize that they cannot, you know, hold power in the discourse. They have to relinquish discursive power to some of these other groups who need to be able to speak for themselves and speak to the actual needs of those communities. So that was a beautiful, encouraging thing to witness just as I was graduating. And I know that they've now rolling out this fall, 2018, they will have an official LGBTQ plus office on its campus, which is crazy awesome. And I'm so excited and so proud.
All right. There is the reveal of the LGBT office that will be rolled out on campus at Azusa Pacific. Why? Why is this needed? Safe spaces? Why? Are people throwing rocks at people who are homosexual or homosexually identified or whatever? Really? They're unsafe. No, this isn't about safety per se. This is about acceptance. Acceptance of homosexuality on a Christian campus. Make no mistake about it. This is exactly what Revoice was doing, and they're doing it in the church, and these people are doing it on Christian college campuses, and they're doing it on purpose. This is the same stuff. And isn't it interesting? Azusa Pacific needs to relinquish its power. They need to give up their power. What are you talking about? It's the institution you chose to attend. It's their school. Why do they have to relinquish power to you? I would never have dared to go to my university and say, you need to give up your power and do what I want. It's just a completely different mindset than you see on a Christian campus, obviously. Then she talks a little bit about how Brave Commons came together. She was working with some other gay activists who all joined forces. There was another guy in the Midwest who was already working at schools like Wheaton and Moody, and she mentioned Hope. This is kind of a description of what's going on. This is cut four.
We all collectively got together and decided to merge together, unite together as basically one force, Brave Commons. And so we're each strategically located in a region of the U.S. where these things are happening. Like, so I'm nearby, you know, Biola and APU and California, you know, Christian colleges, and same for Michael in the Midwest, and Lauren's strategically located on the East Coast. So it made sense that the last thing we all talked about and noticed was that no one had unified or converged all of these student groups together in one place. Attempts have been made to do that in the past, but it's never really fully come into fruition. And we would love to make that come into fruition. So that was the goal.
Now, the reason I'm playing that for you is because whenever I talk about gay activists coming together, trying to make a plan to get into the churches, to get into wherever they're aiming, to get Christians on their side, there's a plan. There's organization. There is strategy. There are behind the scenes meetings. And now you heard it for yourself. This is why I think it's instructive and important sometimes to play the activist saying what they're really saying, because you get more honesty. What you're getting from Azusa Pacific is, oh, we hold to the covenant of marriage between a man and a woman. And is that really enough when you hear her? And you hear what she's saying about the faculty at APU mostly being affirming, teaching womanist and queer theology on campus, and being open and vocal. Would that be a problem for you if you were a Christian parent, or if you are a Christian parent who's sending a student to this university? Isn't this something that you ought to perhaps push back on? Because I think Azusa Pacific needs to reverse this and draw a line in the sand and say, we're a biblical institution. They have a lot of good stuff in their mission statement and their faith statement. They need to live like they believe it. That's what I think. I'm going to give their phone number, by the way. It's 626-815-6000. If you want to call and complain, 626-815-6000. 800-815-6000. There's more to come. We'll be right back. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? We're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you'll access health care, so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $199 per month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. Regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. That number again, 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org. Hi, this is Janet Mefford, and we're partnering with the Ministry of Preborn to save babies' lives through ultrasound. Here's how a nurse describes the power of an ultrasound.
Last week, just one example of a mom who came in was very abortion-minded, and when she saw the picture of her baby on ultrasound and saw that beating heart, it was a defining moment that just broke her, and she said, I just can't allow this baby to be killed, for her own words.
By letting a mother hear her baby's heartbeat and see her baby in her womb, she will choose life 80% of the time.
I cannot tell you how many times a baby's life is saved through ultrasound. It's just an incredible tool.
Will you help save babies' lives? For $140, you can sponsor free ultrasounds for 5 young women. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, call now, 855-601-BABY. That's 855-601-2229. Or click the preborn banner at janetmefford.com. We're back on Janet Mefford today. 1 Corinthians 5. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother. If he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. This is a hard passage. It's not very politically correct these days to read what Paul wrote. This is the word of God. Watch out what's going on in your churches. We're talking a little bit about this Azusa Pacific University decision to drop the ban on homosexual relationships on campus. They still hold to the covenant of marriage and, you know, the supremacy of Christ in all things, and sexual intimacy outside the context of marriage is forbidden. Yeah, but now we have something we like to call gay marriage. So if two students on the APU campus get married and they're homosexuals and they're having intimacy inside the context of marriage, then what? I have no idea. If you allow this incremental gay activism to enter into your college campus, you might as well say bye-bye. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Once you start opening the door to this stuff, unless you take a hard stance right now, it will continue and it will advance to the next step and the next step and the next step. And pretty soon, Erin Green's prediction that APU likely will become, according to her thoughts, the first openly inclusive Christian university in America. And, you know, this is the time, Christians, that you need to speak up if you're concerned about this sort of thing, because it isn't just Azusa Pacific that they're targeting. They're targeting Biola. They already have. They're targeting Wheaton. They're targeting all college campuses, Christian college campuses and universities. I want to get back to this interview that Erin Green from Brave Commons, she's the co-executive director there, gay activist group targeting Christian colleges, was doing with Matthias Roberts, a so-called gay Christian. She talks here a little bit about the institutionalized power within Christendom. This is Cut 5.
What is the case here is that, you know, Christian institutionalized power is in the center. And in order to move that center, we have to empower LGBTQ students on these campuses and empower, you know, queer students so that they have a voice, that they have rights and know they have rights, and they have equal treatment, you know, under the law. But furthermore, if, you know, again, if these Christian institutions claim to be Christians, they're entitled, these students, even more so than just to what federal law says, you know. So that's what we're doing, is basically just empowering, seeking to empower all these groups and give them the pastoral care they need if they're experiencing spiritual trauma. I mean, there's all kinds of different resources that we're going to offer to these folks, retreats, really cool things like that. The work became ever increasingly important, especially when Trump came into office, because I think we noticed, you know, certain schools like Liberty University, for example, with Jerry Falwell at the helm, staunchly anti-LGBTQ, but there is no reason whatsoever that anyone should assume that there's not queer students on that campus, because there are.
What does Trump have to do with it? But there, she's letting the veil slip a little bit. It's about resistance, spiritual version, because we go back to the description on the Brave Commons website of who they are, and they say, we are a bold and subversive Christian movement of intersectional queer glory, healing and working towards robust justice for all. That doesn't sound biblical to me. I don't see any Bible verse there. They say elsewhere, Brave Commons seeks to elevate the voices of LGBTQ plus students working within and beyond Christian universities in the United States. Brave Commons is an intersectional, queer, and POC-led Christian organization seeking to provoke a movement of faith and justice in the academy and beyond. Through retreat, spiritual support, and advocacy resourcing, Brave Commons works to provide equitable and holistic faith engagement for all. This is just pure gay activism. That's all it is, with a touch of progressivism, political ideology splashed in. Actually, there's a lot of it there. But they're trying to come across as, we're just Christians who want to empower queer students. Well, listen, you can't rewrite Christianity. You can't rewrite the Word of God. The Word of God is very clear on putting to death your passions, your sinful passions. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. Galatians 5:19 says, 1 Thessalonians 4 says, this is the will of God, your sanctification. You have to know how to control your own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Colossians 3, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, as we've talked about quite frequently in regards to the Revoice blasphemy. Your desires that are sinful start in the heart, and then they work their way outward into your body and committing the sin. So even if you talk about, I'm not practicing homosexuality, but I'm a queer Christian, no, that doesn't work that way. Not biblical. Matthias then asks Aaron Green, Final Cut, how LGBT students on Christian campuses can also become subversives. Here's cut six.
I can imagine there being kind of a couple different groups like hearing this. I think of the people who are like me, who have graduated from Christian institutions or not, like it doesn't matter. But people who are listening, who are like, how can I get involved? Like, how can I help? Like, I'm not at a Christian university. This is not work that I'm involved in, but I want to support what you're doing. So there's that group of people. There's also, I know a lot of college students who listen to this podcast who may be the only queer person on their Christian campus who may be wanting to get some support or to start a group or to figure out what they can do to be that subversive change on their campus. For both of those groups of people, how can they get involved? How can you support them? How can we support you?
Yeah, it's a great question. Thank you so much for asking. So for the student, please reach out to us at Brave Commons. So we just launched our website, bravecommons.org, and we are in the midst of giving all those access, or, you know, full access to resources and helping you build a group on your campus. And we are particularly sensitive to the fact You know, if you need to create an underground group, or if you want something more overground in the public, and you're not afraid of that. But we're our first priority is the safety of these students on these campuses, and we are joining forces with entities like Soul Force and the Reformation Project to provide some biblical resources and also some of those direct action organizing pieces, because community organization in and of itself is its whole own, you know, thing. And we want to make sure we are utilizing the help of some wonderful organizations that already have that those pieces in place.
All right, let me talk a little bit about that. When she mentioned Soul Force and the Reformation Project, Soul Force, this is Mel White's group. Soul Force is the group that showed up at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. I happened to be at a couple of different conventions where they showed up and tried to disrupt, and they actually did disrupt. They were really obnoxious. And it's all about protesting and resisting and getting in your face. The Reformation Project is the one led by Matthew Vines, who's an open so-called gay Christian. That guy's a total activist. He's the one who met with the ERLC leaders in 2014 at their conference, where Russell Moore said it's okay to go to a gay wedding reception, and Al Mohler apologized for saying there was ever no such thing as sexual orientation. I mean, these people are all together, and this is all what we've seen and I've talked about so much on the show. You got to be aware of what's going on. If you have a student at a Christian college, you need to know that this is going on. I'm not saying that they're going to march across your Christian college tomorrow, but you just need to be aware that this is going on. APU was meeting with these activists for a year, according to the reports. How many parents of students who sacrificed and scraped together all the money that they had to be able to send their child to a Christian college knew that this was going on? Probably zero. That's my guess. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's probably pretty accurate. Most Christian parents probably have no idea that you have gay activists who are targeting your Christian college and targeting your Christian university in the same way that they're also targeting your church. This is just my attempt to try to sound the alarm and to say, please wake up, church. Please wake up to the danger that the church is in, as we are really under siege from this wicked movement. And it really is a wicked movement. We pray for these people. We pray that they will come to know the Lord. But these people are deceived and they are up to no good, and they're trying to change Christianity. And it's up to us to fight the good fight of faith and stand for Jesus Christ at a time like this. I'll give the number out one more time for Azusa Pacific if you desire to call them and voice your opinion. 626-815-6000. We need to go. Thank you. God bless you. JanetMefford.com, our website. We'll see you there.